open up to Philippians chapter number 4. And you say, man, weren't we here last week? Yeah, we were. But I want to go back there again. And I want to bring out some things here that we didn't have a chance to last week. Look in your handout with me, everybody. Look in your handout. Jesus said, and Paul quoted Christ in Acts 20:35. Say it with me. Okay, let's quote the words of Jesus. You ready? It is more blessed to give than to receive. And, you know, Jesus here is teaching that I am more blessed when I learn how to take my existing blessings and share them with others. In order to be more blessed, that would mean that I'm already blessed. Does that make sense to you? If I'm more blessed, then I'm already blessed. So Jesus said, I'm more blessed when I learn how to take my existing blessings and I learn to share them. In other words, okay, and here's the key, and this is kind of where I got the theme for this series, and we're in the third week of this series. I just got maybe one more message I want to do in this series. But here it is. You look in your handout, okay? I am blessed. Why has God blessed me? Why does He provide things for me? Why does God bless me? Well, I'm blessed in order that I might be a what? There you go, a blessing. Write that in. I'm blessed in order that I might be a blessing. Now, we have learned here in the Bible that some awesome things begin to take place when I begin to get it through this thick head of mine, okay, that God has blessed me not just so I can hoard all the blessings for myself, but man, when I start getting it, I mean, when God's Word gets in me and renews my mind and I start thinking like Christ, okay, then when God's Word gets inside of me and it begins to change me and it begins to renew my thinking, and when I begin to catch hold of this thing, okay, that God wants me to share my blessings and not just hoard them all, some wonderful things begin to happen and begin to take place. Now, I brought this in for an illustration. Can you tell me what that is? That's a funnel, right? Now, I've seen my wife use these when she cooks. Notice I said when she cooks. Did you catch that? I'm not a cook. I don't even try anymore. But this is a funnel. I've seen her use it. She'll take oil sometimes and she'll pour oil in the funnel. And what does it do? It goes through the funnel and it comes out down here, right? Well, God pours in blessings into us and He wants us to be like a funnel. He doesn't want us to just... Now, what happens when I do that? It all stops up. All of it stays up in there. God, now that's how a lot of people live their life. God blesses them and they're just like that. They're just going to keep it all for themselves. God wants me to be like a funnel. Now, when she pours oil in here, Brother Rob, you know what? I've noticed, because I will help with it, even though I don't cook, I help with the dishes. Oh, yeah, amen. And so I've noticed that when I help with the dishes, and I've noticed that there's a residue there from that oil left in the funnel. Whatever she poured in here, there's a residue left. Well, you know, to me, that's kind of like what we learned a few weeks ago, right? Why does God bless us? Well, you say, do I have to just be like a funnel and I have to just give away everything? No. You know, there's a residue there that we keep to meet our necessities, and we saw that in Acts 20 in that text, that God blesses us and we take part of that and we use it for our needs. And then that's legitimate. Also, we take part of God's blessings and we use that to meet the needs of our loved ones. And that's legitimate. That's very... But, okay, God wants us to learn to be like a funnel to where He pours into our life, He blesses us, but then those blessings flow through us, much of it flows through us, and we in turn become a blessing. Now, the Philippian church here, they understood this principle. They got it. They got a hold of it. And what happened was they had been giving sacrificially to the ministry of Paul, to the work of God. What was the result? Well, the result is that the work of Christ through Paul was able to go forward. The gospel of Christ had been proclaimed. Paul had been able to go other places. He'd been able to tell other people about Christ. He'd been able to see lives transformed. He'd been able to see lives changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of their giving, Paul was able to go other places and tell other people the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, all this fruit over here that I'm seeing in these other places, he said, that's all because you gave to me. You made it possible for me to go through your giving. And he said, that fruit that I'm seeing over here, that spiritual fruit of souls being saved, lives being changed, the Word of God getting in people and changing their life. He said, all that fruit I'm seeing, it's abounding to your account in heaven. Look down at verse number 17. He said, not because I desire a gift, but he said, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And you know what Paul tells them? Because they had given sacrificially. They were blessed, and then they were a blessing. And you know what Paul says? Paul says, you've given sacrificially to the work of God, but you know what God's going to do for you? Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your wants. No. You guys are Bible students, aren't you? You know the Word. Some of you didn't even have to look at that to know I messed that up, right? God will supply all your what? Need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I want to get very practical this morning with you, and I want to go into Philippians 4, and here's the question I want to answer. How do I become a channel of God's blessing and God's grace to what He's doing on this earth, to the work of God? Now, we all know Satan. He's got an agenda. We all know Satan's got a world system in place on this earth. The Bible calls it this present evil world. He's called the god of this world. We know that Satan, man, he's got an agenda. He's got a plan. And Satan's got an evil world system in place. And that's why God says you got to renew your mind, because this world system corrupts our thinking that we live in. Satan's world system. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we know that Satan's the god of this world. We know that Satan has a work that he's doing on this earth. But folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that God's got some stuff going on this earth too. God's got a work going on, and God's got Christians. He's got ambassadors. He's got ministries. He's got churches. He has got some ambassadors on this earth that just believe what the Bible says, have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We have had our life transformed, changed by His grace, and we got some people on this earth that are doing the work of God on this earth. And you know, how can I become a channel of blessing that God can flow His power through and use to accomplish what God's doing on this earth? You know, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. God's power is working in us as He accomplishes His work on this earth. Colossians 1:29, Paul said, I'm laboring and I'm striving according to Christ working, which worketh in me mightily. You know what God's doing today? God's working in and through people. And how can I become a channel that God works in, that God works through, to where I can be a channel of His blessing and His grace to what He's doing on this earth, to the work that God's seeking to accomplish on this earth? And that's what we want to focus on. How can I do that? Number one, it requires a personal decision. I want you to notice here, Paul makes an amazing statement in verse 15. This is an amazing statement right here. I'm going to grab my highlighter because I'm fixing to use it. Look at verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. What's the last three words there, church? But ye only. Now, Philippi was in the province of Macedonia. Now, look up here at the map, okay? This is Macedonia right here, okay? And this is Greece. This over here would be Italy, just to kind of get your bearings. This would be modern-day Turkey. Here's Galatia, Ephesus, There's where Paul was from, Tarsus. This would be modern-day Turkey. You got Libya down here, Egypt. This is Jerusalem and Israel and Syria over here. And so kind of give you an idea, Paul's way over here in Macedonia. Now, that's where Philippi, major seaport of Macedonia, was Philippi. So Paul was up here giving them the gospel. Paul said, when I left you here, and he said, and we know from studying the book of Acts that when Paul left here, we know that he went down here into Greece. He went to Thessalonica, he went to Athens, he went to Corinth. He spent a year and a half down here in Corinth. Now, when Paul left Macedonia, he said, there wasn't one church that communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He said, you are the only church that when I left from up there where y'all are, you are the only church that gave to my ministry. Only one church gave to Paul, and that was this church right here, the church at Philippi. You see, they understood that they were blessed to be a blessing. And they made a personal decision. Didn't matter what the other churches were doing. Didn't matter what anybody else over here. Paul had been over here. All these churches over here that he'd established. It didn't matter what they were doing. The church at Philippi made a personal decision. We are going to share our blessings to help further what God is doing on this earth. Now, in your handout, it says, what does that teach us? Giving is a personal decision of the heart. Giving is a personal decision of the heart between you and God. Okay? It doesn't matter what other people are doing. You know? Listen, what I do, what I give, doesn't have anything to do with Brother Rob. Okay, I don't know what he gives. I don't want to know. I don't know what Brother Rich gives. And, it doesn't matter. Brother Stanley, it's a personal decision. It's between you and God. And it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. See, we give out of the grace that's been extended to us by God. Amen. Has God extended His grace to you personally? Okay, if He has, then you know what? This is a personal matter then between you and God, and we give out of a personal love in our heart for God. In your handout, it says the grace giver gives, whether anybody else gives or not. Whether anybody else does or not, doesn't matter. The grace giver gives, whether anybody else does. What other people do isn't an issue. Not an issue. Okay? I love what Jesus said to the disciples. Jesus was with the 11 disciples after His resurrection in John 21. And Peter saw John, the apostle, kind of, loving on Christ and nestling up to Him. And Peter looked at Jesus and he said, Jesus, he said, what shall this man do? Pointed to John. Said, what shall this man do? And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, man, what's that to you? You ever had anybody say, none of your business? Well, that was a nice way of telling Peter, it's none of your business. Well, what's going to become of him? Jesus said, what's that to you, Peter? And then he looked at Peter and he said, hey, you just follow me. Isn't that good? He said, it doesn't matter what I do with him. He said, what's that to thee? Follow thou me. Paul said, you're the only ones that gave, told this church. You're the only ones that gave. But the spiritual fruit I'm seeing over here in Greece, all these folks down here in Greece, Thessalonica, Corinth, all these lives that are being changed and transformed, said it's all been made possible because of your gifts. And it's abounding to your account up there in heaven. No other church but you. But I want you to know it's abounding to your account in heaven. If I am to become a channel of blessing for God to flow through and use, it requires a personal decision on my part. There's a great verse in your handout. I want you to look at it with me. 2 Corinthians 9:7. This just kind of reinforces this principle. Every man, Paul said, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. Do you know what that word purposeth means? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. It means to choose for oneself. In other words, we become a channel of blessing, church, when we make a conscious choice of our will to give. It's just like salvation. It's got to be a choice of your will. Hey, let me ask, can anybody get saved for you? No. Are there people that you would like to see come to Christ and be saved? Well, don't you wish you could get saved for them? But you can't, can you? It's a personal decision of their will. Okay? Listen, if you're going to be saved today, look, and boy, here's the great news. If you're here today and you're not saved, and you're not sure if you died today, you go to heaven, great news, okay? You don't have to do a bunch of religious acts to try to earn heaven. You don't have to be a part of a religious system. You don't have to do any amount of good works. I'm glad to be able to tell you, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth, and He willingly chose, of His own will, to go to the cross, and He made a perfect, final, complete payment for the sins of all mankind. And you know what? All that's left is for you to simply put your faith and trust in Him. And when your heart rests in what Christ did for you on the cross, when you realize, man, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and Jesus Christ died for my sins personally on that cross, when you make a personal decision of your own will that I'm going to believe on Christ, I'm going to let my heart rest in Him and trust Him, you know what? At that very moment, the life of God comes inside of you. God cleanses you, forgives you, puts His life in you, puts Christ's righteousness on your account, and you're justified before God. And it all is transacted by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Nobody can exercise that faith but who? You. You're the only one. Nobody can do it for you. That's got to be your decision and your choice. Well, it's the same way in this matter of becoming a channel of blessing, that God can make you a channel of blessing of His grace to give through. You know what? That's got to be a decision of your will. Paul said, nobody gave except you. But it's abounding to your account in heaven. God is not going to take anything from you by force. Now, you hear a whole lot of tomfoolery out there today about this thing. And you got preachers out there running back to Malachi and the law, trying to scare people into giving. Okay? You know, you've heard it. Go ahead. Don't give. But God will get His money one way or the other. Now, folks, that stuff's preached. God will get His money. And you know how it goes. Your car is going to break down, or your kid's going to get sick or something. God's going to, you know, and so God's going to get His money. Let me tell you something right now. We live in a dispensation of grace today. We're not you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to go run back to Malachi, and they're not going to obey half of Malachi, but they're going to pick out the part they like. They're going to take the yoke of the bondage of the law, and they're going to put that yoke on your neck and try to scare you and intimidate you into that thing, what they want to do, what they want you to do. But I'm here to tell you right now, God ain't going to take anything from you by force. You know what? He wants it to come from your heart. He just wants it to come from your heart. He doesn't want it to come out of fear. He doesn't want it to come out of guilt. He wants it to come from a willing heart that is in love with Him. A heart that is in love with your Savior. God said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not, you know, I just think Paul had a little smile on his face when he wrote that. Not grudgingly, or of necessity. Well, I guess I better do it. He said, no, not grudgingly or of necessity. No, no, no. God loves. That's big stuff right there. God loves a what? Cheerful giver. Somebody who just out of a pure love for their Savior and an appreciation of the grace that He's poured into their life. You know what? That love and that grace is what motivates us to give. Amen. And you know what? If that love and grace can't motivate you, my friend, then nothing will. And I'm not going to be one of these preachers. I'm not here to try to extort anything from you by fear or guilt or use any kind of tomfoolery tactics. I'm just here to tell you right now that when you're in love with Jesus, you know what? You're a cheerful giver. Amen. Cheerful giver. You make a personal decision. Number two, giving must become a regular practice. Notice that there was a pattern to their giving. Look down there at verse 10. He said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last," I'm in Philippians 4:10, "that now at the last your care of me hath flourished." Notice that word, again. Again. Look at verse 16. "For even in Thessalonica," when Paul was down there in Greece, he said, "you sent once and what? Again. Unto my..." There was, in your handout it says these people had a habit of giving. I mean, it was a practice in their lives, and this is so important. You know, this is important. Giving should be a regular grace that you practice in a systematic fashion. Did you know giving is a grace? Hey, how many of you think that we ought to exhibit the love of Christ all the time? You think? Would you agree with me that love is a grace of the Spirit that we ought to have all the time? Okay? Am I ever excused where God says you don't have to love? You know, faith is a grace, isn't it, of the Spirit? We know that from Galatians 5, 2 Corinthians 8. Love and faith and all these, they're graces of the Spirit. Did you know giving is a grace of the Spirit? Do you know that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that giving is a grace, and that it should be a regular grace that we practice? Now, the opposite of that would be erratic or occasional or spontaneous when the urge hits you. You know, when there's a big surplus, you know, it's the idea, wow, that's been a good week. I got an extra $10. I think I'll give it to God. That's giving spontaneously or erratically or occasionally. You know, we kind of tip God. It's kind of like the, I just thought of this morning and it just hit me kind of funny. So I'll share it with you, okay? You ever hear about the little boy? His mama gave him 2 quarters, and he's on his way to Sunday school, and his mama said, "Now 1 quarter is for the Lord, and 1 quarter is for you to get a snack on the way home." And the little boy was walking to church, and like little boys do, he dropped one, and boy, that thing went to rolling, and when he tried to catch it, but before he could catch it, it went over into the gutter. I mean, the sewer. Went down into the sewer. So the little boy's on his hands and knees, and he's looking down in there trying to see it. And he kind of mumbled under his breath. He said, "Well, Lord, there goes your quarter." You know, I don't know why I thought of that this morning. But I just thought of that old joke. You know, and you probably heard it. It's kind of cheesy and corny and old. But it kind of makes the point, you know, I guess, a little bit. I'm not real big on old cheesy jokes. But, you know, it's isn't that how we are with God sometimes? You know? And, you know, giving is something that we kind of do when there's a surplus. You know, when I got a little extra and it won't hurt me too much, then I'm going to give. But, you know, the grace of giving is far too important to a Spirit-filled believer to treat in such a casual, flippant way. Why? Why? Why would I not treat giving in a kind of just a casual, flippant way? You know why? Because, man, I'm giving to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm given to the one who saved me from eternal hell. I'm given to the one who redeemed me. He changed my life. He gave me hope. He gave me meaning. He forgave all my sins. He's blessed me in heavenly places in Christ. And the Bible says, did you know the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 8, 8 and 24, we prove the sincerity of our love by giving? Now, I don't know. I haven't studied it out completely. But I don't know that there's anything else that Paul teaches where we actually prove the sincerity of our love. The one thing that he says, we prove the sincerity of our love for God by our giving. So that means when I give, it's a serious thing to me. It's a regular, definite, systematic way I do it and I approach it. Look in your handout at look at the back there on 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul said, I'm coming to see you, and I'm coming to receive your love gift for the offering that I'm taking up for the poor saints at Jerusalem. He said, on the first day of the week, he said, I want you to systematically, first day of the week, set aside your love gift for God, your giving. I want you to have a systematic way you do this, Paul said. Is giving a regular practice in our Christian life? It's a grace of the Spirit. It's important. It's more blessed to give than to receive, Christ said. You know, there's an easy way. You know, here's the deal. I ask myself, okay, Dan Proctor, is giving a regular systematic thing that you do? Do you approach it in a regular systematic way where, I mean, it's important to you? Well, you know, there's an easy way to tell. I say, honey, give me the checkbook. And I look at my checkbook and I look at 2007. Let me ask you something. Is there a regular systematic way that you pay your mortgage? Just asking. Is there a regular systematic way that you send money to FPL? Or do you just say, boy, I had a great month, I had a little bit of surplus, I had an extra $20 to go towards my light bill. Thanks a lot. We sure appreciate y'all. Is that what you write to FPL? No, there's a regular, systematic way you approach it, right? So we look back and we say, well, what about my giving to God? See, if I'm going to be a channel of His blessing and grace to flow through, I got to make a personal decision. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. But then number two, you know, it needs to be a regular way I approach it. And then number three, last thing I want to give you is this from God's Word. Trust Christ to give through you. Philippians 4:13 is a very familiar verse. Most of you in here probably can quote it. Say it with me. You ready? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, did you know giving can easily become a work of the flesh? Giving can become a ritualistic law, you know, just something that we do it because we think that somehow we're earning God's favor, you know. Or man, we're scared if we don't give, you know. We're afraid, man, we're going to get a lightning bolt or something. And so many times this is the way it's presented by preachers today. And, you know, the idea that, man, you know, God's going to zap you if you don't, you know. And so it becomes this ritualistic law we do because, man, we're scared if we don't. Or maybe we want to conform to what other people expect. It can become an act of greed. You know, we approach giving sometimes, and you hear guys on the TV talk about this, and preachers all the time, and Baptist churches approach it this way. That they approach giving like it's some magic genie in a bottle, you know, kind of rub it and God will bless you. You've heard it on TV, haven't you? These shysters get on there. And boy, if you'll just plant a seed of $100 in our ministry, God has revealed to me, He's going to send you back $1,000. You will receive back tenfold. You like the way I said that? Tenfold! And you know, I want so bad to write them and say, look, if that's the way that thing works, you send me the $100 and God will send you the $1,000, okay? Right? Plant some seed this way, right? But you know what? People approach giving that way, like it's some magic genie. Man, I just rub it and God's just going to bless me. You know, God's going to give me all I want because I gave, you know. And so it becomes almost an act of greed. We can approach giving as an act of pride. Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 6:2, He said, you give that you may have glory of men. They were giving in order to get attention. And in every one of those instances, you know what? Giving becomes a work of the flesh rather than a reflection of our walk with Jesus Christ. You may be thinking, well, I hear what you're saying. I see what the Bible says. But you know what? I just can't bring myself to give. You know, I love my stuff too much. I work hard for my stuff. I work hard for it. I love it. I love all my things. I'm afraid if I give, I won't get this frill or thrill, or I won't be able to do this or that, and I may have to give up this. And you know, I just don't think I can bring myself to do what the Bible says there. You know what? You can't, but Christ can do it through you.
Amen.
You got to yield to Christ. Christ, you got to do this through me. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. This world is full of materialism and greed and covetousness. Everywhere you turn, buddy, it's all about me. Right? And I'm going to tell you something. In your handout, it says only Christ can free you. Only Christ can bring the ability to shed the cultural trappings of materialism and greed. Only Christ working in you can do that. And here's the glorious thing about it. I'm going to give you the very next statement in your handout. If you're saved, you have the ultimate grace giver living inside of you. Do y'all know who the ultimate grace giver is? That's right. Bible says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich," think about this, "though Christ was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." He's not talking about being rich and living like a king. He's talking about being rich in the things that really matter. Those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to know something. You're looking at one rich dude this morning right here. You come to my house, you probably won't be impressed. You come out and look at my car, I know you won't be impressed. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't let looks fool you. You're looking at one rich guy. Every spiritual blessing that God has, He's given me in His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ became poor that I might be rich in Him. In Him. And what I want to try to get across to you, church, is this. Giving is the natural, it's the normal response of a person that's walking in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a fruit of that relationship with Jesus. You know, why do I give to my wife over here, Denise? Why do I give of my time? Why would I help with the dishes, you know? Why would I give to her? Why? Do I give to her out of guilt? Do I give to her out of fear? I'm afraid she's going to hit me with a frying pan if I don't. No! Why do I give to my wife? Because I what? I love her. What would lead me to take resources that I've worked for and earned and take part of that and be like a funnel and give it back out to the work of God? Why would I do something like that? Because I love my Savior Jesus. Amen. And I just appreciate the message that's changed my life, and I want other people to hear that message. And the only reason that would motivate me to want to give is the grace of God, my love for Jesus. And when I give, it's just a response, a normal, natural response to my relationship with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense this morning? Does that compute with you? Does me? You say, I don't get it. Okay. All right. If you don't get it, then, you know, you need to get it. Because there's nothing like being in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you love Jesus, you love Him more than the things of this world. And you know what's like that song? When I turn my eyes on my Savior Jesus, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. See? That's what happens. Folks, listen. I'm not playing games. And I'm not trying to extort anything from you. Look, I'm just going to say this. I don't care. If you don't give anything ever to this work, that's okay. You know what? You give where you think your giving is going to have the Word of God, it's going to result in the Word of God being taught and lives being changed by the gospel. That's where we give. We give where we're going to see that fruit, see, that's going to abound to our account in heaven. And if you don't have any confidence in this ministry and you don't feel that lives are being touched and changed through the teaching of God's Word, then give where it is. Man, it doesn't matter. Listen, you know what? I'm not here to dictate where you give. I'm just here to tell you what the Bible says about it. See? Where you give is your business, not mine. Where you give is between you and God. You understand? You're a full-grown adult in the family of God, and you're able to sit down, you and God, and you're able to make those decisions for yourself. This ministry has always operated and functioned by faith and will continue to do so. And God will meet the needs. You know? So I'm not worried about that. I'm here to share with you the title of this message, How to Become a Channel of Blessing. Okay? It's not at all, God knows my heart. I've got no ulterior motive to try to get you to give something to this ministry. I've got nothing to gain personally, whether you do or don't. Okay? All I'm wanting to do is share with you a way to live life, okay, whereby you become a channel of blessing, of His blessing and His grace. God's plan is not for you to live your life and then die and be cremated or put in the ground and that's it. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for your life to make an eternal difference in the work of God and what He's doing. God wants your life to make a difference. And I want to just, last thing and we're done, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and this is the last thing I'm going to show you. Everybody turn over, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'm going to show you the absolute key to these Philippians' hearts, their giving hearts. Here's the key to it. You ready? 2 Corinthians 8, let me show you the key to their giving hearts. 2 Corinthians 8, Paul is actually talking about the churches of Macedonia, which would be Philippi. So he's actually in Corinthians talking about those Philippians. And here's what he says in verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. So these people weren't rich. Those Philippian people were poor. But look what he says. Their joy abounded under the riches of their liberality. They gave liberally. For to their power, verse 3, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Praying us. That word praying there means begging. Begging us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And now look, here's the key. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You want to know why the Philippians became a channel of blessing? Because there was a time in their life where they came before God and they said, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. God, I'm yours, lock, stock, and barrel. God, I'm not giving you part of my heart. I'm not giving you a portion of my heart. God, I want to give you all of me. Amen. They gave themselves to the Lord. And you know what? Because they gave themselves to the Lord, the giving was just a natural outflow of that. Their giving was just a natural outflow in response to the fact they gave themselves to the Lord. Lord, everything I have, everything I am, everything I are, it's all yours. And in your handout it says, as they yielded themselves to Christ who lived in them, as they yielded themselves to Christ who lived in them, the gracious and giving heart of our Savior was living, what? Through them. And that's why they had become such a channel of blessing and grace in Paul's life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank You for Your Word. And God, thank You for how special it is. Lord, thank You that Your Word has revealed to us how we can become a channel of blessing. I pray that everybody in here will make a personal decision of their will Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, you said. And I pray that we will all purpose in our own heart individually that we want to be grace givers. Father, I pray that we will make giving a regular practice of our life as we trust Christ to give through us. It can't be a work of the flesh, Father. We know that. It's got to be a work of your grace, of Christ living through us. Father, may your word get in us and change us from the inside out. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that's not saved, I pray they'll be saved today. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed.